If your fucking mom is the teacher, it doesn't count, dude.
Michelle doesn't even like pretend to give a shit about our show.
Hello and welcome. We're back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I'm the host of the show. It's episode 221. I think maybe last week I was saying it was episode 221, but this week I consulted my notes, and I believe this week is 221. May have lost an episode at some point. I'm not really going to like do the homework on it, guys. Okay? Nobody pointed it out, though, which is shocking. Episode 221 of the show. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for being a part of our world. If you missed it last week, episode 220 or 221, now I'm confused. We reviewed the movie Face Off, and it was a pretty good episode. We had some special guests. Mark the Nomad, thank you very much for joining us. You are very funny. Jason Stewart, as always, amazing, amazing insight there. And of course, our very own Ed Daly, who joins us now. Edward, how are you?
Doing well. Shit. Oh, you were saying 221 we're up to?
Yeah.
I'll give a little teaser that nobody will actually care about, but when we get to the episode 227,
yes.
I will watch an episode of 227, and I'll open the show with like a 1 minute recap or 2 minute recap of an episode that I can find on YouTube.
Jack Kay.
Because I remember hating that show.
It was real bad. I believe it was like a Friday night show.
During the era where like I just watched network TV on weekends.
Yeah, because so you were like 12.
Like Golden Girls was like the gold standard of of one of those nights.
Comedy.
And I think 227, and then I think like by the time Amen went on the air, I was like, you know what? Even though I'm a kid with nothing going on, I'm not watching Amen.
Helmsley. So bad, yeah.
But 227, I think I watched a fair amount of it, and I don't remember even liking a minute of it.
No, it was horrible. It was horrible. It's weird how, like, if you were on a show, they just would automatically give you your own show at some point, where they're like, we got to, like, flow.
Yeah, like, it's a spinoff. We need Marla Gibbs to have her own show.
Yeah.
It's
Marla Gibbs time. Like, we're living in Marla Gibbs' world.
And sometimes it works out where you give Frasier his own show, but then sometimes it's Joey from Friends.
Yeah.
Or like there are a lot of shitty examples.
Of all the people to be given a show, Joey. Amazing.
Yeah. I thought, you know, in these negative times, I wanted to point out a couple of heroes.
Okay. Now, first and foremost, Brian Beckner. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Brian Beckner.
Yeah.
Then I also want to point out a guy that I've bagged on for his theatrical ways. And his mugging for the camera during Hard Knocks, but fucking every time.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this
down.
Up. Yeah,
something goes down in Houston or in his community. Like the dude J.J. Watt steps up to the plate. Like, you know, it was made public, but he just said, "I'm paying for all the funerals," and it was like, that's it.
Instant legend.
That's what we want out of athletes. I mean. It's okay if some take a political stance, but like he's not taking political stance, but he's still just stepping up for his community. Like, I just like that the dude is a take charge guy who fucking, you know, you have all these people taking, you know, different, what is it? The lieutenant governor said that we need less doors, you know, all these dumb hot takes.
Hugh Hewitt, like, outlaw trench coats.
Yeah, trench coats. So Inspector Gadget out, like, And then J.J. Watt's like, all right, I'm paying for all the funerals. Like, compassion, like, it's a lot of what we need in the world. And, like, fucking, I'm not bagging on that guy anymore. I'm not cheering for him to be mugging for the camera, I'm impressed with that guy.
It's a little disconcerting to see him after practice making one-handed catches from the pitching machine with the camera right there for some reason. And then... also like rapping at you. But like The guy's a legend. Like I'm glad you brought that up because it had slipped my mind. I was going to make a tweet about it when I saw it because I just saw like on the Apple News on my phone, like JJ Watt to pay for funerals of victims. And it brought a tear to my eye. I'm like, fucking, yeah, what a great awesome dude. Awesome dude. Totally agree. That said, I feel like we're not going to hear much from him on the field anymore.
He's all kinds of fucked up, right?
Yeah, he had some injury. I think he had a back injury or he had something last year.
Leg, Mike, because my leg. Buddy yeah. had the same thing. He was doing, the one where you have that kite surfing?
Oh, stop it with that. Stop it. And you're hanging out with surfers?
And my buddy's leg just snapped in half.
Oh, my God. Like,
yeah, I had the same injury as J.J. Watt, and he was fucked up for a long time. So,
You get a short run. Like you just don't, it's hard on the body and you get something bad. And I immediately announced he's never going to be the same. And I don't think we're going to see much from him again, but it sounds like the guy's heart is as big as the All Outdoors and he will probably have an amazing post football life. So good for him. And we won't make fun of him.
And then I also want to congratulate New Yorkers for absolutely crushing that racist dickbag who complained about the Spanish-speaking
workers. So good.
They fucking just chased him everywhere. They hired a mariachi band to like just play in front of his home. Like the guy in a week was just sunk. He was ruined. Loved it.
Deservedly. 100%. Fuck him.
Good on you, New Yorkers. You fucking just hammered that guy. And what a bullshit like angle to take. And then I think today he put this apology like, that's not who I am. I moved to New York to embrace diversity. It's like, no, you're at like 100 different rallies, you know, bitching about everybody but white men. Like you're a MAGA asshole.
He's screaming in people's face to speak English and I mean, it's you show your true colors when you don't think people are watching. Like that's the, you know, like the girl that acts nuts when she's drunk. That's because she's nuts.
And also the apology, like the crafted apology, a week later, you're either somebody who's grown or somebody who's just been hammered into oblivion.
Meanwhile, he's getting chased around Midtown with a beanie pulled down low, like trying to hide his identity.
I know.
So it's the fucking worst. 2018, dude. It's over.
Yeah, you fucked up big time.
He's gonna have to move to like Mayberry to be a lawyer now.
Fuck him.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, let's do some email. Hello. Just listened for the first time last night. Karate Kid 3 review. Welcome. Really great stuff, and I'm hooked now. Would love to hear you break down how much better a movie Hardball would have been if Keanu fucking Reeves didn't land the main role. I've never researched this, but if they didn't at least try to get Wahlberg, we're talking about maybe the biggest bonehead casting decision of my generation. Much like the fourth season of The Wire, the kids, blah, 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 do an incredible job in this film, and the director almost lets Neo ruin it. That's from Cole, 25, Atlanta. I'll be 100% honest. When he's like Hardball, I'm like, is that the movie where he was the replacement quarterback and he just got the name wrong? I don't know this movie. I don't know one thing about what he's talking about.
I saw that email. I Googled it, and it was a movie I opted to not watch. So I have no idea, except it looked like an unfunny version of Wildcats, like with younger kids, but like. Right. Yeah, it's the tough area of Chicago everyone's given up on.
Very formulaic. But like,
yeah, but Keanu Reeves is the guy. But all that looking very good Diane Lane was in the trailer.
Love her.
Mark Wahlberg, he wouldn't have saved it. He sucks.
Oh, he's like, so wooden.
Yeah, like he's I'm not saying he hasn't been in good movies.
He has.
But he's not going to save a movie like that. He would have sucked in that.
He's picked the right projects. Like he really launched himself.
Departed. Yeah. Really good for him to be an asshole.
Right. Right. In Boston.
But to be the caring, like little league coach.
Yeah. No. Yeah. When he does like Boston guys or real dumb guys, like he can do that, but he's not like a master thespian.
So I've never watched a minute of that movie.
I'm really into Fuck You Money Keanu these days. Like, he did those...
Matrix.
No. One of my claim to
fame... Oh, Wick. Wick. I've never seen the Wick.
Me either. One of my claims to fame is never having seen 1 minute of any of the Matrix trilogy. I would like to be patted on the back for that.
You should be. I remember... kind of liking the first one because it was different, but not going crazy over it. And then I was on a business trip with nothing to do. Like, I had to kill time for a meeting, and I was like, I'm either going to get drunk before a business meeting or I'll go to a movie that was playing in the lobby of the hotel. Like, it was one of those hotels on top of a movie theater. And I went to the second one, and I walked out. It was it was not good. You know what I did? I went to the bar and had a few beers.
Yeah, of course. I remember asking somebody, I'm like, so it's like in a computer? And they're like, no, it's not in a computer. It's in a simulation. And I'm like, whoa.
The lots, zeros and ones.
Out. Hard pass. Just get me out of this. But I do like now he's done the John Wicks. Also, he's like, I want to say, how fucking old is this guy?
He's in his like 40s, right?
No. He's like 53. And he is fucking still beautiful. He looks better than ever. And now he's like got his own motorcycle company. He's doing John Wicks, which are like just fucking ridiculous, these ridiculous revenge movies.
I watched part of one of them on a plane. It was just like people getting beat up.
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen him, but I feel like I would love those movies. And now.
Not beating up.
Now he's rebooting Bill and Ted with. Ted, no,
which is
Ted.
Kind of a cool move because you know Alex Winter has been sitting by the phone for like a long time, like a quarter century.
He needed it. This is his Cobra Kai. So it's like it's like he doesn't give a fuck. He's in his 50s. He's so fucking rich, and he just seems like a chill guy. So I'm all for Keanu, and so I'll give. I haven't seen Hardball, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he did his best in that one.
But Mark Wahlberg wasn't going to save a movie about a guy, like a guy who reforms himself around Little League team. No way.
They're on par with each other, Keanu and Wahlberg. Wahlberg can't emote any better than Keanu.
No, certainly not.
Here's an interesting one. Gents, no songs and no hashtag sass today. Just a simple question. How do you feel about pre-cooked bacon versus fixing it raw? I'm firmly in the pre-cooked camp because there's nothing that eating more easily fixed bacon can't overcome. What say you? Until next time, rights of Bill. Davey's choice, it's a choice I make. Davey's choice, watch me shiver while you shake. Writes a bill, of course, makes.
Did you just choice a bacon or?
I don't know.
Pre-cooked bacon.
I wanted to credit Writes a Bill, so he's just. You know.
I know that's his song, but like we're talking about something different, I think.
I assume I've seen in the store, like at Costco, they have like packages of bacon that looks like it's already cooked that you just heat up in the microwave. Yeah. I've never purchased that. I can't attest to its.
Yeah, I can't say I can't argue against it because I've never had it.
I assume that's what he's talking about. But I will say this. Sometimes on a Sunday, like a Sunday night, I'll make a pack of bacon and then just let it cool off and put it in a big Ziploc and throw it in the fridge. And then throughout the week, if you need a couple pieces of bacon, you just heat it up in the microwave and it's fucking great because it takes forever to make bacon and it's messy. So if that's what he's talking about, then I'm firmly in the camp. Yeah, that's great.
I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
And I'll have occasional bacon, but I would say, and I'm not the guy trying to take the other side and say it's bad, but people go crazy over bacon and like it's just bacon. For me it's like of the things I like, it's in the like the 7 out of 10 range. Like I'm not one of these people that, you know, goes insane over bacon. I like bacon, but like not all the time.
Oh, I would agree with that. Often.
You know, some people are like fucking like insane. Like I one time had bacon flavored popcorn. I was like, this isn't working. No. This is just too much.
I often, so if I get breakfast, you know, and I'll just get like the couple, the whatever breakfast that's just eggs and hash browns and your choice of bacon or sausage or ham.
I'm going sausage.
I almost always opt for sausage, especially if it's a patty. I really enjoy a sausage patty because I find that people cook the shit out of fucking bacon. Bacon is not supposed to disintegrate when it touches your fucking lips. Like leave it a little, have it firm, but leave a little chew, make it so I got to chew it up that it, so it doesn't turn into a fine dust as soon as it hits my teeth. And when I go to a restaurant, they've always burnt the shit out of the fucking bacon. And I used to be a short order cook. And so I know how this goes. You get in and the first thing you do in the morning is you start cooking about 70 pounds of bacon and
that's been cooking for a long time.
Well, no, you just get going on other shit and you're like, oh, right. I got all this bacon over here and you turn around and it's all fucking fried to a crisp. And then you go, okay, I'm going to try not to do that with the next batch. And then you do it with the next batch and then you do it with every batch and you're serving it all day long out of like a little warming tray. And you're like, right. Yeah, I cooked the shit out of the fucking bacon. So yes, of course everyone loves bacon, but it's not, I'm not like going out of my way to get bacon.
That was my only point. That if I have the choice, I'm probably going sausage. Like
I get sausage.
Occasionally it'll be bacon, but sausages.
So there's this one place, Fancy Sauce and I like to go to Palm Springs, and there's this one place where you get breakfast and they have like a bacon flight. And it's like six pieces of bacon and they're all like cured differently. One's like jalapeno and one's like maple and they all kind of have different flavors. So you get, you know, a few, you sit down and then you get one of those for the table and everybody has a little taste of the bacon. That's kind of nice. I like that.
Yeah. Be still my heart, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. Appreciate that. Writes a bill. Thanks for reaching out. Ed. These are my fucking, this is a sports talk show, obviously.
Yeah.
These are my favorite stories. I don't know if we ever got a definitive answer on Thon Maker.
Right.
But Thon Maker is I think he's from Nigeria. I don't really know, but he's from somewhere in Africa and he came over and then I think he went to like one of those school, an academy or whatever they call it, like a prep school that's like just gets people ready to play basketball. And his age is of question. He might be in his 30s. And I love when dudes pull a Jump Street and they head back to high school to like play on the football team or the basketball team because it's never just that. That's not the only reason they go back to high school.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this past year, 17-year-old Hurricane Harvey evacuee, Sydney Bouvier Gilstrap Portley.
That's a lot of fucking names.
Yeah. Sydney Bouvier is like first and middle.
Right.
And then Gilstrap hyphen Portley is the last name. Like, if you're a hyphenated last name, you can't be a three name guy. Like, you can't.
Totally agree. 100%. Right?
Like, the middle name's gone. Bouvier is fucking out.
Cut it out of there.
So, he transferred to Hillcrest High School and played for the basketball team. And then coaches in the district voted him Offensive Player of the Year. And the recent transfer also dated a 14-year-old freshman in his year at the school.
Yeah.
Now, the one problem, which you addressed at the top, was Portley is actually a 25-year-old father who previously played at North Mesquite High School and Dallas Christian College. When Philip Randall, his former coach at Mesquite, found out his former player was still in high school, he blew the whistle and the police arrested him. The quote, "He was an average player and a good kid. I'm surprised," Randall said. Now, Brian, what's the worst part of the story, that a grown man would choose to hang out with high school kids? Or that the Hillcrest High School team only went 11-10 this season.
With a 25-year-old guy.
With a 25-year-old.
Like, that's a man.
Yeah, like, you have all the old man moves. You have, like, man strength.
Yeah, like, you should be dominating. I remember when I played freshman football, and some other guys, like, went out and didn't make the freshman football team. And then they like lied or something so they could still play another year of Pop Warner. And I was like, you guys are the fucking biggest scumbags. Like, you're 14 years old. Like you've hit puberty and you're playing against these kids. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it's like, it's gross enough if an actual high school senior dates a freshman, right? Like that's a bit too big of an age gap.
Yeah, when you see that and you're like, oh, this isn't good.
It's just a little bit pervy. It's a little bit too big of an age gap. But a 25-year-old with a kid, like, what? Didn't he have a job? Like, how's he supporting himself? Does he live at home?
He has to be living somewhere, or is he pulling a Rudy and living in like the equipment room?
Right, and is he like, mom, I'm thinking about heading back to high school, and how does she not fucking slap him about the head and neck? Like, what's going on? Okay, there?
Yeah. And if he's up to no good, and he's just like, I just want to fuck young chicks, why? It said he was from Dallas, went to a small college in Dallas and played for them. Why would he go to a Dallas high school? That's where, like, you go to Minneapolis. You go somewhere like they not like his coach like read about him in the paper or something. Like you don't want to be like running in similar circles.
No, yeah, exactly. You gotta head out of town, start a new life like an ex-con. Yeah. And if you want to bang high school chicks, just go hang out at like the local pool hall, like the Dazed and Confused guys, like McConaughey. What was his character's name?
Wooderson.
Wooderson. Right? Yeah. Like that's how you do it. Like they'll still hook up with you. You got a car and shit. You got Aerosmith tickets. Like they're going to want to make it happen. Okay. What else is going on, Ed?
Rumors are swirling about an NHL first round draft pick whose career appears to be in limbo. On the Sportsnet podcast 31 Thoughts, hockey analyst Jeff Marek said on Video Games, and I'm not going to say the player's name, I really doubt he's going to make it to the NHL, and it's because of a video game addiction, to the point where his junior general manager told me they've had him go to counseling over it because he'll play until all hours of the night and into the morning and then have no energy the next day. Like, he'll be a write-off. And it's that bad. He has a compulsion for playing video games until all hours. I swore I wouldn't say the player's name, but it's unfortunate. He's a first-round draft pick for a very, very prominent NHL team. Will probably never play in the NHL because of a video game addiction. Oh, now, Brian, what's the most confusing part of the story? That a hockey player is wasting his gift, or that there's a podcast named 31 Thoughts?
Do we find out who it is? He's not a prospect for my beloved Kings, is he?
Well, I mean, I didn't read all the comments, but they were already figuring it out. Like, it's a prospect that hasn't made it, they know it's a Canadian that was a top draft pick, and like it wasn't these teams. Like,
right?
Yeah, they've already narrowed it down to like four guys, right. And some of them have made it. Like, or they narrowed it to like eight guys, and five of them had made it. So. I didn't know any of the names. I didn't even know Winnipeg Jets were a team again, and I see that they made it to the semifinals.
They did, yeah. Unfortunately, they were eliminated by the expansion Golden Knights. I believe we have a Game 7 coming up.
Yeah, the Caps and
the Caps. Lights. Now, you are some Washington teams fans, yeah, well, so, and some New York teams fans, but you're not a Caps fan, you're a Rangers fan.
Very quickly, the Rangers and Knicks, I got into those sports later.
Right.
When I was like, that's when I just took to the local teams. Same. I took to the Knicks and Rangers. Same. But I don't feel one way or the other about the Caps.
Right.
I guess I don't like them because they used to be in the same division as the Rangers. But like that was when they had the divisions that had nothing to do with geography. They just had these weird names.
Right. I think we the Campbell Conference, the Norris Division. Yeah. Yeah. All those. I think we can all agree that the Washington Wizards is a super gay name.
I mean, like, the Bullets, they had a cool...
Bullets is so like, much better.
They had a cool name.
Yeah, American flag shit.
Like, yeah, they had the cool like 70s-looking uniform deal.
Yeah, it was the...
Wizards.
The prime
they went with alliteration.
I think the prime minister of Israel got assassinated, at some point, and he was like, and the owner of the Bullets was friends with him, and he's like, fuck Bullets, because like that's a thing that exists, and one of them killed my friend, and I'm like, that's really like, if somebody died in a car accident, you wouldn't like be like, change the name of
the Pistons.
Yeah, there you go, the Pistons. or if somebody died in a sauna, the owner of the Heat would be like, oh no, we got to change it to something that's not Heat.
How about melanoma? No more Phoenix Suns.
Right, exactly. The Suns, very damaging.
Although the Suns. What, I mean, the Suns and the Nets are probably the two worst nicknames. Like, there's nothing worse than the Nets, because that's just a part of, like, equipment.
Yeah.
Like, why not be the Laces? What does it even mean?
But I'm kind of with you on the non-plurals. Like, the Thunder and the Magic.
Get out of here with that
and
non-plural.
The Heat. It's so stupid.
The Wizards with the alliteration.
So bad. Go back to the Bullets.
Get out of here.
And the red, white, and blue shit. Like, enough time has passed. Make it cool again.
I think they actually did do it. Because the Wizards originally had, like, some teal or something going on.
Yeah,
but I think they essentially recreated the Bullets uniforms, and just now it just says Wizards.
If you say so.
I think the uniforms look all right now. But I'm not positive.
Okay. And just to put a button on that, video games. Are you fucking kidding me? One, if he's a hockey player, he literally has to close the door, like push the door closed, and there's a bunch of like chicks' arms coming through the doors, and they're like, and like one leg's coming through with like a pump on it, and they're like, hey, Austin, hey, don't close it. Because these hockey players get so much ass, and even like the junior, like even if he's a prospect, like these guys have to literally keep their stick with them just to beat back the hordes of ravenous poon. Like it's just like too much to endure. Like they're just all like cum spent all the time, because all these guys do is fuck hockey groupies. And meanwhile, this guy's like, no, I think I'll go play video games all night. Like, what the fuck? Video game addiction? Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, it's one thing if, because I remember reading a thing about Amari Stoudemire's rookie year, and they were talking about like,
he's
this guy
so young. Yeah.
Had a troubled family existence, and how would this straight to, because this was before they mandated the one and done, and they said, how would he handle all this free time and all this money?
There was like a whole Real Sports about him. Like he was. Like people were looking at him like he was going to be another Corleone Young, or just like one of these guys that just was like, it was a bad idea.
Fucking hooker. Yeah. Like he actually was like a good dude.
He rose above.
I think the New York Times Magazine was following around for the thing I read, and they said these guys, they don't practice hard because they play so many games. So it's like a lot of free throw shooting.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of video games. And then they go out after the game because they're at their peak like alertness at 10:30 at night when they finish their game, and it's like, all right, now I gotta unwind. So the only place they can go to is a club. But they said like these guys play a lot of video games because there's just nothing going on during the day. But
they could crack this guy,
they're talking about. He was like warned by the team and had to have counseling, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, once people point out, like, this isn't just, like, you've got some downtime. This is ruining your career. And you can't stop video games? Like, you can make arguments for substance abuse because, like, that's, like, an addiction.
Right.
That your body, chemical dependency. But, like, what?
Yeah.
Video games? Just don't turn on the Switch.
Just don't have a gaming system. In your, you know, like don't whatever you use your PlayStation.
It's ruining the one thing you have going for you.
Yeah, totally. I thought of two things there. One, did we talk about on this show how in now that we're in the age of Tinder, that they did a study, and that NBA road records in general are way better than they were like 10 years ago. Like the road team wins way more often. And one of the theories is because these guys don't go, have to go out to clubs anymore to get pussy. It's just like J.R.
Smith.
I was almost going to say Ewing. I'm so bad with names in my old age. J.R. Smith. You want to get, you looking to get the pipe. Like these guys already have, when the plane lands, they already have something set up through DM that's just going to happen at the hotel room. So they don't actually have to go out and try to hook up with chicks. So they're more rested for road games. I mean, yeah, they've been wearing something out all night, but they're getting their sleep. They're getting their rest. They're not staying out late drinking is one right. theory. Okay. That was one thing I wanted to mention. And then what was the other? Video game addiction. Oh, I lost it. I knew I wouldn't be able to think of both things. This next story.
Yeah. This was big.
It was a big story this week. People were real into that.
So Krista Glover, the wife of professional golfer Lucas Glover, was arrested Saturday, but I don't know which day this actually was. This might have been 2 weeks ago. Yeah, after she allegedly attacked him and his mother. Krista was arrested and charged with domestic violence, battery, and resisting arrest. Apparently, the couple had an argument after Glover missed the cut at the Players' Championship. When Glover's mother, Hershey Glover, attempted to dissolve the argument, Krista allegedly began attacking her, the AP reports. When the golfer stepped between them, he was allegedly injured also. Glover told police his wife often gets violent anytime he doesn't play well in a tournament, according to the Miami Herald. Glover said, when he plays a bad round of golf, Krista proceeds to start an altercation with him and telling him he's a loser and a pussy. Now he needs to fire everyone and how he'd better win or her and the kids would leave him and he'd never see the kids again. Sheriff's deputies noted in their police reports. And there were cuts on Glover's right arm and multiple lacerations on both of his mother's arms and blood on their clothes. Krista allegedly refused to enter the patrol car after she was handcuffed, wrapping her legs and feet around the door and the frame of the car, according to the Golf Channel. The mother of a 2- and 5-year-old is scheduled for a court on May 30th. And Brian, what are the odds this marriage isn't going to last?
I'll be honest. I never heard of this guy. I don't follow golf.
Yeah, is he a – yeah.
No clue. No idea.
I couldn't tell if he's a real thing or
not sure.
He's some scrub.
No idea. I only know the real good players, the best players in the world. Tiger Woods, Sergio Garcia, Jason Duffner, Bubba Watson. Those are the guys I know, the good players.
I've never heard of Jason Duffner.
He's awesome. What I was going to say is I was real shocked when I heard the 911 call and everyone had a Southern accent. Like, I was like, whoa, you're kidding me. Like, I expected, like, maybe British or Northeastern, like a Yaley, maybe. But no, it turns out they're from the South. I think this guy might be sort of young. So, and maybe he's like on the come, but this is, you need to cut this bitch out quick before you make more money. Like, pay her out. Get rid of her, move on.
This is a thing that's known about her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she clearly can't handle her booze. So if this is what happens on, you know, that you got to call 911, just imagine what a regular Friday night is like. Like this is happening all the time, just not quite as bad. I mean, she's throwing hands with your mom. Like you got to get out of here, get her out of there. And you, just to save your own image, like you look like a real cuck right now, Lucas. Like it's time to step up, and she's kind of right. Like work on your game. You're shooting 78. That's not gonna cut it. You're gonna be a local pro before you know it. So first step to fixing your game, which your wife is right about, is get rid of that bitch, get her out of there, and move on. That's my suggestion, Ed.
How about where is mom supposed to be involved in domestic disputes?
That is a little weird. Like, why is she like, there?
Mom, get out of here, mom.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine mom is going to be very objective in the argument.
No, she's, well, you never know. You know, like she could be like, yeah, your wife's right. Krista's right. Like yeah,
you're a bitch.
Your putting sucks now. like fix it. What's the problem? Jeez, Lucas, you suck.
Your irons need work, bitch.
Yeah, your short game. You're bad off the tee. Like you're just greens in regulation. Ed, a lot of shit popped off. This one was from a few couple weeks ago, but we had
done. When we do the movie thing, we've got too many stories to do.
But I was like, I was in legit shock when I saw this on TV because of course it happened in Florida. A Miami high school is catching some heat after its jungle-themed prom decorations included a live caged tiger. Christopher Columbus High School, even the fucking name of the school is ridiculous. Like, nothing's, we all know not to name shit after Christopher Columbus anymore, unless they're talking about the guy that directed Home Alone.
That's right. I mean, and I think, not that this is in my ballpark, but I think he was like the Harry Potter guy. Like, he's a big deal, that guy. And I mean, what was up with his parents naming him Christopher Columbus?
That is a little weird. It's
not like the guy I know named Mike Jordan, right, who is like my age. He's 42. Right. Right. And it's like, yeah, he was like eight when all of a sudden it's like, oh.
1492. Like, your last name's already Columbus. There's only really one name that you have to cross off the list,
right,
of names. You could name your kid pretty much any other name except for Christopher, and then you just go ahead and go with Christopher. Like, that's kind of crazy. And also, like, it was kind of known that Christopher Columbus wasn't like the best guy. I don't think that's new information.
Is genocide bad? I didn't know that. But one thing I will say, so it's known, it's not, I mean, this isn't like a big secret, but like, it's known as Columbus High, but it's like a big, it's not like this fringe high school that nobody's heard of. Like, it's a big, I think it's a big sports factory. Like, A-Rod went there. Like, this is the, like, one of the big time high schools. I'm looking right here. And Bancroft went there.
Yeah,
it's like, this is Brian Greasy went there, and he was known because of his dad. Like, it's a big deal. And also, Brian Greasy, I remember there was somebody who sacked him in Pop Warner. I wonder who that was.
Who could that have been?
Young Ed Daly.
Edward Daly. Wow. Claimed
here's the footsteps. I fucking sacked his ass.
Well, knowing Brian Greasy, he probably had a fifth of Cutty Sark before Pop Warner practice that day.
I thought that was Chris Sims. Was Brian Greasy on the sauce?
Oh yeah, he was injured once. I believe he got injured tripping over his dog one time. Like,
and it was probably a trick injury from fourth grade where somebody took him the fuck. Like,
his knees never been the same after he got dumped by Ed Daly. That
he's got a bulky knee after young number 72 took him down.
This is a private school, which is weird because they're always like so safe about everything. Like, this is a Catholic school. Like, you got to do everything right.
Boring, if anything.
Right. Yeah. Like, they do totally the opposite. And here's the quote. This poor tiger was used as an exotic amusement for the mindless teenagers who were present. Mary Chris Castellano, whose brother attends the school, wrote on Facebook, "It is not the student's fault to be so naive, but it's the CCHS staff." Yeah, the adults who arranged this event. They are responsible for this tiger's misery. And if you see the video, it is fucking shocking. It's a tiger in a fucking tiny cage, and it's fucking, it can barely move in the thing, and it's pacing back and forth. Like, who's entertained by that?
It was animal cruelty, like, defined in one video.
Totally. And this was an actual plot line on or the theme of an episode of the HBO show Vice Principals last season. Like, this is actually life imitating sitcom because it's just so fucking ridiculous. You can't even imagine somebody would do that. And yet there
it's not life imitating an episode of The Wire.
No,
it's life imitating a Danny McBride show.
Like it's extreme, like beyond ridiculous. Terrible. And then it happens like 6 months later. It's just unbelievable. Okay. Also from the Florida area. Ed,
What we got?
Oh, no, wait. I thought this was, it's just from the Miami Herald, but it's, this happened in South Carolina, which is like extreme, extreme North Florida, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, they were still fighting over the Confederate flag like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I think they were, still fighting the war of Northern aggression, Ed. Publix, which I believe is a Southern.
That's definitely
store.
In Florida. Yeah. That was our supermarket in Florida.
Yeah. Censors, a smart word on a cake because it looked dirty. Publix cake makers, or whoever came up with the list of naughty words that cannot appear on cakes, clearly didn't graduate from high school with the highest distinction. For generations, students who graduate in the top 1 to 5% of their class are awarded the distinction summa cum laude, Latin for with the highest distinction. Summa cum laude outranks magna cum laude, top 10 to 15% of the class, or simple. Oh, I
thought magna was top.
Yeah, no. I didn't earn any of these distinctions.
I didn't get that one either.
No. Or simple cum laude, top 25 to 30%. If you're in the top 30% of your high school, I don't think there's any distinction. Like, I was in the top third. You're like, what?
Yeah, I was probably in the top third. But, like, I remember going to college and, like, with some meatheads, and they're like, oh, yeah, I was top 5% of my class or some bullshit like that. It was like, what was going on in your high school? Right. I mean, that's a weird thing to judge kids on.
Yeah, how would you know?
Some high schools are really just a couple of steakheads. Like, there's nobody there.
I remember I had a buddy who was like, I was the smartest person in my high school. And I'm like, really? You're like the valedictorian? And he's like, I never got anything higher than a D. And he's like, and they gave me the same diploma as everybody else. The Lakeland-based Publix, however, has a problem with one of the words, and it isn't summa or laude, according to a Charleston, South Carolina's family's post on Facebook. Kara Kaczynski ordered a Publix cake for her son, Jacob, 18, who graduated from his Christian-based homeschool
what?
Program with a 4.89 grade point average and attained the summa cum laude designation. If you're fucking mom is the teacher, it doesn't count, dude.
Right.
Like, how
if my mom was in charge of grading me, it'd be like, oh, Edward, that was a wonderful essay you wrote. Yes. This is brilliant.
4.89.
A++.
His mom ordered his vanilla and chocolate cake online with the words, congrats, Jacob. Summa cum laude, class of 2018. She would have had an inkling that something could go awry because the online receipt was flagged with the message, profanity, special characters not allowed. The word cum. It's so much grosser when you don't have the summa and the laude on the other side.
So Publix has taken a foot. They have a policy against loud cummers.
Yes.
Then, right?
This is an anti-loud-coming establishment.
We've got a lot of forces at play here. Anti-loud-comers, and then we've got pro-giving your son bullshit grades.
Yes. In that form, there's a box where customers can write special instructions, and in that space, Kaczynski wrote, my son is graduating summa cum laude, and noted that it was a Latin term for high academic honor and was not profane. She wrote, the system is mistaking the word, oh God, I gotta say it again, cum for something inappropriate versus Latin. But when she sent her husband and sister to nearby, it's weird that that's a two-person operation, to her nearby Publix to pick up the cake and grab some other essentials, That cake's message proved too blue for the censors. When the family opened the cake at the graduation party on Saturday, the words read, "Congrats, Jacob, summa dash 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 Loudy class of 18. And we have to side with Publix here, right? This fucking kid was homeschooled.
Right.
It doesn't count.
Congrats on getting a meaningless distinction. Maybe they should have put that instead of
right. Also, who is he going to share that cake with? His friends?
Right. He doesn't have friends.
His mom? And
let me be clear. If you have a kid who has health issues or some sort of issue where they have to be homeschooled.
Boy in a bubble or that thing where they can't be in the sun.
John Stewart's got a son that had Crohn's disease or something where he was missing so much of school that Stewart hired good tutors to homeschool him. If you're in that situation, I support you. If you're in any other situation, your kid's super weird and everybody thinks he's super weird.
Totally.
Homeschooling is not – I mean, how much of school is what's being taught and how much is just the whole social aspect of it, just adjusting to different personalities? You are doing a massive disservice to your fucking kid.
My kid was doing some math the other night, and she's like, what's the point of this math? And I'm like, well, the point of the math is to teach you how to think.
Brain is being trained.
Right. You're not going to do much long division, which is why I thought it was a little weird that the mom was teaching the kid how to do long division in that Quiet Place movie. But there was a lot of, there was a lot of plot issues there, but I'm like, you're just learning how to think. But also the point of going to school is that you have to learn to deal with other people because you're going to get out and you're going to fucking go to work and there's going to be people at work and people have personalities and you're going to very quickly realize
every one of them different.
Yeah. You're going to very quickly realize that everything isn't about you. You're not the most important person anywhere you go, but yet you've been led to believe that for your fucking entire childhood because your mommy made you summa cum laude at her fucking kitchen table schoolhouse where you did workbooks. Fuck off with that.
But before they made it a big story, they should have gotten a quick interview with the person that opted to omit the CUM on the cake and be like, so what do you think this message means? Because I got to think they were thinking loud comer.
Of course.
Congrats, Jacob, on being a loud comer.
Right. To quote Mallrats, I too hope to come loudly someday, preferably in a 69. It's funny that she wrote out, she's like, hey, by the way, not a profanity. It's Latin. She explained the whole thing, and they're still like, "Oh no, I'm not writing that word." Which,
yeah, but here's the thing: you are teaching your son. It's all bullshit.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And by the way, she's sending her husband and sister to go take care of this. Mom, we know you don't have a busy job. You're fucking teaching your kid to be the valedictorian of one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And a school of one. Yeah. 100%. If you're his teacher and his cafeteria worker and his principal and all this bullshit, it doesn't count. Tim Tebow.
Send your son to study hall and go pick up the cake yourself.
100%. Or make him a fucking cake. You got the time. Get the fucking Duncan Hines out, lady.
Right. There could be freshman year. I took a little cooking class.
100%.
Freshman year high school. Yeah. Teach him how to cook.
There's fucking directions right there on the box. Make that shit yourself. Yeah. Ed, this one is just unbelievable. And I don't know how, I think these people kind of play it fast and loose with the ages.
Because they can talk about no records.
Right. They're definitely, it's kind of like when Adrian Beltre comes over from San Pedro de Macorís and he's like, I'm ready to sign with the Dodgers. I'm 16. And they're like, all right. Or like Albert Pujols.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's still claiming to be like 37 or something.
Yeah, 38. He's in his late 40s.
He's in his late 40s. Like, there's no way he's younger than you and I. He's much older than you and I, and it shows. But this, there's this woman in Russia. She's 128. I think she's almost 129. And she's it's
so that puts her at 1889. What is she?
1889. She's got a little card, but it's all in the Russian alphabet except for the numbers, and it says 1889 on there. So, I mean, she looks pretty fucking old. But I mean, if you told me she was like 93, I'd believe you. And okay, that's
but
like she was
1889.
That's a long ass time ago.
I have a couple of questions for you, a little quiz for you, Fiona.
Okay. Yeah.
You wanna? What's her name? What's this delightful lady's name?
Well, hold on.
Why don't you tell the story?
Let's do the quiz after. We'll do the quiz after. So her name is Koku Istambulova, and she claims
that sounds like a bullshit name. She Istambulova.
Yeah, that's her place.
Yeah.
She's But back then,
what's her name? Dr. Detroit? What is Istambulova? What is that?
But back then, they didn't have surnames. So she was probably born like near the border of Istanbul, or back then it was Constantinople. And they're just like named her after the place she came from.
Yeah, so when did Constantinople become Istanbul? Because she could be lying by, you know, a half century.
She claims to be 129. She says her upcoming 129th birthday is nothing but punishment. She's from Chechnya, and she says she has not had a single happy day in her entire life and has no idea how she managed to live this long. Istambulova, who shunned.
She's been trying to pick up Andy McDowell for the last 50 years. Reliving the same day.
She shuns meat, Ed. But
what?
But loves fermented milk. Hey. Get this medium rare ribeye out of my face and go get me the sour milk I asked for.
And if you're so fucking miserable, be like, you know what? I'm going out with a giant greasy cheeseburger.
She believes it simply is God's will that she will live to see 129 next month. The claim that Istambulova is about to turn 129 is made by the Russian government. Oh, well, that's fine. That's totally believable then. And is based on her, it says internal passport. This is the Daily Mail, which isn't like the best newspaper in the world. So I think they believe.
Speaking of playing it fast and loose with the rules.
Right. Which shows her date of birth as June 1st, 1889. If correct, Istambulova was already 27 when the Russian Revolution unseated Tsar Nicholas II.
Right. 50, she was in her mid 20s when Rasputin was like stomping around.
55 when World War II ended. Didn't 20 million Russians die in World War II? Like, how was she not one of them? And 102. She was 102 when the Soviet Union collapsed a generation ago. During the war, she recalls scary Nazi Germany tanks passing her family home. She and her family were later deported along with the entire Chechen nation, Kazakhstan, and Siberia by Stalin, who accused them of Nazi collaboration. Asked how she lived so long, Istambula told an interviewer, "It was God's will. It did nothing to make it happen." Ed, if longevity is directly correlated to how miserable you are, can we expect Nick Saban, Donald Trump, and Bill Belichick to live to be 200 years old?
That is the sad reality. Because, I mean, I saw a thing where Nick Saban, this might not have been this championship, but like maybe the last one, and he was legitimately complaining that by going to the national championship game, it was setting him way back in preparation for for next year and recruiting.
Yeah.
And Belichick never smiles. Joyless, joyless people.
It's weird that you can make like
all the money.
All the money, like $8 million a year, and just be so fucking pissed all the time.
Yeah, like you do see it sometimes where the edges get softened, but like those two football coaches, they're always miserable. And I guess it's great for the fans because they keep, you know, grinding out championships. But, like, it is bizarre. But, you know, let's go back to this lady. So you're saying, you know, she's playing a little bit around with the age.
Yeah, there was no records back then.
Okay, so let's say they exaggerated by a decade. Yeah,
unless she's got a stone tablet laying around somewhere with for her birth certificate, I'm not buying this bullshit.
Right. But if she played it loose with the and let's say she was really in 1899. Who's older? Her or the radio?
She's older than the radio. She's much older than the radio.
The radio was 1895, so she was right in there.
Wow.
How about the Zeppelin?
Well, she's old.
Zeppelin.
She's older than Jimmy Page and Robert Plant combined.
Yeah, Zeppelin was 1900, so she'd be older than that. How about the paperclip?
The paperclip. Oh. Well, they didn't even have paper, so she's older than the paperclip.
Paperclip, same year, 1899. This is assuming she's 10. How about the jukebox?
Oh, music. They didn't even have records. No, she's older than that shit.
She was one when the jukebox was
unbelievable.
How about two more? Drinking straws.
Why would they even need straws? Like they were drinking out of like stone or wooden cup. Like I've seen Little House on the Prairie. You go out to the well thing, or you get a bucket from the well, and then you just scoop it with a wooden ladle that your dad carved, and you drink it out of that. So no, she's older than the straw. Why would you even need a straw? No. There was no straw coke was back
one.
Then either.
Straw was one when she was born.
Get the fuck out of here! I didn't know the straw was that old.
Shredded wheat.
Trash cereal. Oh no, 100%. She's
cereal.
She's old. Well, all cereal sucks. Everybody knows this. Now, books about cereal, amazing. I love books about cereal, but cereal, breakfast cereal, is trash. It was invented by Seventh Day Adventists to keep you from getting horny, and it wasn't. And it didn't come around till much later. So, she is older than all cereal.
She was three when shredded wheat came into play.
Right,
but yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so much going on. Like she was nearly 30 when the coffee filter was invented.
Unbelievable. She's so fucking old. And what's
insulin.
Well, they didn't, I mean, I've seen the Nick. They were just fucking carving you open to do shit back then.
I have a hard time believing anyone lived.
No, it was
because
just sheer
you had to
luck.
Deliver a child, and everybody died during childbirth.
Yeah, I'm reading a biography of Benjamin Franklin right now, and they were talking about how his dad had a first wife. Benjamin Franklin had like 19 brothers and sisters, and his dad
liked to get after it.
Yeah, his dad had a first wife, and they had like a kid every year for like 9 years, and then a bunch of the kids died either young or whatever happened to them.
You had to do it for stocking the farming.
Right. You needed help to do whatever your job was. His dad made candles out of tallow. And you needed people around. But also but then eventually your wife would die having another kid. And so while he was at the wake for his wife, he met a much younger woman at church who turned out to be Benjamin Franklin's mother. And then she had like 19 more kids. And they said, oh, it's very common at the time. And it wasn't like thought poorly of that when your wife died, you needed to get another wife quickly to take care of the rest of the kids. So it wasn't uncommon to be married a few months after your wife died.
Wow.
The good old days. And men were men.
The childbirth, or they would, like you said, they would just keep producing babies until they died.
Yeah.
That was why Margaret Sanger like really put her life's work into developing birth control, because she was like early out of, you know, 14 kids or something. Right. And she just watched her mom get driven into the ground. She's like, I got to come up with an answer, because I don't want this for me or other women. Like, we got to change this. But it was for that reason that, like, yeah, they would just, hey, keep producing until you give out.
That's why everyone thinks life expectancy was so low, because of infant mortality and mothers dying in childbirth. That's what drove the rates down. Okay, Ed, it is time. A lot of people have been emailing lately that we just do not feature enough of their favorite person on the show. And she hasn't been on for a while. I think she missed the week before.
Yeah, we have Lisa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. We haven't reviewed that, Ed.
Whoa.
You guys, at your own, I would suggest
things took a turn.
I would suggest listening to it two shows ago. I believe it was episode 219.
Give a little time after a meal before listening.
Lisa Bizzle joined us, and she's a fantastic guest. She's Canadian. She knows all about Canada and working out and stuff. And she's really funny and nice, and we enjoy having her on. And we were wrapping up the show, and she told us a story that I still have not processed. I'll just leave it at that. Go back and listen, guys. Joining us now, though, I've missed her. I know the listeners have missed her. It is our very own Fancy Sauce. How are you, Fancy?
I'm good. I'm hydrated. Just okay. A big gulp of water.
Oh, hey, drinking a lot of water these days. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm a water drinker.
Good for the skin.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
no, it's not good. Remember when she had to play hurt? She like reached into her pocket and ate an edible.
Yeah, she had been at Trader Joe's and she absentmindedly grabbed. She found a piece of chocolate in her pocket.
I was very excited.
And the chocolate,
I was like, look at this piece of chocolate in my pocket.
Yeah, the chocolate turned out to be weed, and we had a weed episode.
That's right.
She played hurt and she delivered.
Yeah.
I could not.
No,
I got to tell you, when I'm not expecting it, it's not a good feeling.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Do you guys ever like kind of choke on your own saliva?
Like
it goes down the wrong way?
Yeah, that's happened to me.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's happening to me with an alarm
on the regs.
Frequency.
Really?
Yes.
Are you okay? Are you going to make it?
Not like right now, but like a lot.
Oh, interesting.
In the car on the way to work this morning.
Yeah,
it's a really terrible feeling.
Yeah,
it
is.
It happens to me all the time.
Well,
now.
Things are very
intense. What's happening?
Things that happen to you are very intense. That's known. Let's do a couple email. Good to have you back, Kate.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. See? You're spilling water.
Uh-oh. I'm
trying to do a show here. Kate. Oh, this is one's just for Kate. This is how long you haven't been on.
Brian reads it. Surprise.
Yeah.
We can take the play off.
Kate, I know you're about dat whole 30 life because I follow Kate's Plates. That's Kate's alternative Instagram account. Ed, you would like that one because it's exclusively pictures of food.
I genuinely like Kate, but I there's nobody on earth, not even
Ed.
My mom, my sisters.
You want me to start tagging you in my posts?
Ed, she makes these. She makes delicious breakfast salads. You would love this account, Kate's Plates. Kate, I know you're about that whole 30 life because I follow Kate's Plates. Can you give me your best whole 30 recipe to make my wife for Mother's Day? Thanks,
Mother's Day next year.
Well, this obviously came prior to Mother's
I'm
Day.
I'm sorry that I'm
yeah, you haven't
now.
Been on the show,
this,
so.
This is a dumb question, but what does Whole 30 mean?
Whole 30
is just like
a
healthy way of eating.
Yeah, so it's no added sugar, no grains, no legumes, no dairy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, seems like we've gone down. Well, so what can you have there?
You can have protein.
Vegetables.
You can have nuts,
so it's just like chicken breast.
You can have anything that doesn't have added sugar.
You can have nut.
Oh, and no gums. So you can't have any like non-dairy milk that has gums in it.
What about when I accidentally sit in some gum and I'm like, hey, did I sit in some gum right here? And it's really just my balls pulled through a hole in my jeans.
So like,
is that joke?
Gross dad joke.
Is that joke funny when somebody does that? Because I mean, it always makes me laugh.
It's not funny.
Hey, did I sit in gum?
Jokes that you tell me are funny.
Did I sit? Hey, what happened here? Did I sit in gum? And it's just in its sack. Also, I was on the phone
like,
with
it's a cousin to the wristwatch joke.
Oh, I love the wristwatch. Can't really pull that one off.
No.
Mine would just be like a sort of a fat ring, pinky ring.
You know, or the chicken heart, another cousin.
Do you know do you know the wristwatch one, Kate?
Well, I can imagine that it's wrapping your dick around your wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a buddy.
I had a roommate who pulled it off.
Me too.
Marvelously.
I know a guy who has a big old hog and he's on the like vein of his dick. It like pools up in one spot. And so there's like a big lump on like the. I wish you guys could, this should be video because you got to see the way Kate's looking at me. On the vein of his dick, there's like a big lump where like the vein pools up and he calls it the love lump.
Oh, no.
and I'm always like, hey, Pat, what's up with the love bump? And he corrects me. He's like, no, man, the love lump. But when he does eat, because he's got a big old hog, he wraps that thing around the wrist and he's like, hey, can you tell me what time it is? And he like, and then you got to look down and he's got his cock wrapped around his wrist and the love lump is like on the face of the watch. It's pretty sweet.
Wow.
I bet that
so
was
he's
like
added a wrinkle to the wristwatch.
Yeah. Middle school.
Yeah. Well, I imagine in middle school, it wouldn't have wrapped, but he probably had a smaller wrist. Everything's, you might
yeah,
be right.
It's proportional.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys would probably like that show, traveling show, The Puppetry of the Penis.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, seeing as you're really into all these penis,
I know
is that skews a little too gay, right? Like it's not.
It's a little bit too gay for me. But I do know another guy that has.
I'm just talking about my love of penis as a very straight guy.
You think are so funny.
I know another guy who does a bunch of penis tricks, and he's got one called the Birth of Fire, and it's like he's got his balls like stuck out like through his hand. He makes like a circle with his hand with all of his ball skin sticking out. And he like real slowly peels back the ball skin. And as it folds away, you realize that he's been concealing a Bic lighter in his ball skin.
Oh, wow.
And then he lights the lighter.
You're talking about dangerous stunts.
And he calls it the Birth of Fire. And it's really impressive.
When I was younger, my parents would have some like boozy dinner parties, and I remember one guy used to do the elephant walk. He'd pull his pockets inside out and walk around his penis, and it's like I don't know why like 7-8-year-old me was looking at this. This guy might have been up to some shit.
Did you happen to see at your parents' parties, Ed, a fishbowl near the front door with lots of sets of keys in it? Like everybody's car keys were in a fishbowl?
I got the feeling this guy definitely wanted that to happen, but no, I didn't notice the fishbowl.
Why do
I don't
people
think
have
my parents
empty fishbowls?
Well, no, you have a fishbowl so that everyone can put their
You go to the pet store and you specifically
yes, you
buy
have it. Well,
fishbowl.
No, it was the 70s, so people had like a lot of like.
It's not actually a fishbowl.
What are those aquariums? But it's just plants in it.
Rare
Bullshit.
It's just a terrarium. They would have terrariums, and then maybe when
they have doghouse with nothing in it. Like, what kind of bullshit is that?
I don't know. It's a thing.
I don't get it.
It's a thing. But they would have those around because it was the '70s. And then everyone would
I just think it's a bowl.
Then everyone would put their keys in there, and then you would draw keys out, and then whoever's keys you drew, you would get to have sex with that person's wife.
What if you found the person physically revolting?
I feel like there was a lot of like, how about we just talk?
Can I trade with you?
Yeah, or trade up.
Do you want to trade with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you got the bad call, you'd be like, let's just get to know each other better. Let's just talk. Be like, no, I thought this is a sex party. No, let's just talk about your relatives.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to give a shout out. I know the person that created Puppetry of
the Venus. That's the whole reason you brought that up, so you could drop a name.
So I just want to say a shout out.
Yes. Is that still going, Puppetry of the Penis? It's probably been franchised. I tell you what.
He's an Australian
guy. Tell you what.
Very nice guy.
I tell you what. I'd rather see that than Hamilton. If you're like, hey, I got two tickets to Puppetry of the Penis or two tickets to Hamilton.
I got Thunder Down Under in Vegas.
Yeah, I'd see that. I'd see that before.
I've been giving you a death stare this whole time that you've been talking about these dumb dick tricks. I would prefer to see that than Hamilton.
Of course, 100%. And Dean has a PS. I forgot we were so. Oh, did you have a recipe for him? I forgot.
I mean, not off the top.
He wants a recipe.
Dean, I would encourage you to go on Kate's Plates.
Kate's Plates. Instagram.com/Kate's Plates.
They're not really recipes. I could probably dig up a recipe.
Yeah.
What if you made like a bundt cake and then shaped it a little bit like a penis?
That's a good idea. Yeah. Saying you could dig up a recipe, could you perhaps dig up a recipe and then maybe cook something at some point for your husband?
Oh, man. Listen to 50s Brian here.
I cooked 1950s.
You did?
Let's see how short your memory is. So rude.
When was that? I made dinner.
Fucking
yesterday.
Ricky Ricardo over here before. Demanding a meal on this day the table.
I make dinner.
I forgot what day it was.
29 out of 30 days.
I made dinner on Sunday night.
Dean has a PS. Which city do the Panthers play in?
North Carolina.
That's right. I mean, that's a state. That's a state.
Oh, Jacksonville. No, that's
Florida. Jacksonville, North Carolina. North Carolina. Yes.
Hold on.
Correct. Okay.
Jacksonville, North Carolina is a very good guess.
What does the letter start with?
What does the letter start with?
What letter does the city start with?
It starts with a C.
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, North Carolina. Yes, you got it. Nailed
people on both sides.
No, you got it.
Random places. So I would never probably choose to travel.
So Ed, yesterday, Charlotte's actually pretty nice. North Carolina in general is a pretty cool place.
Actually, I would
like going to North Carolina. Go to the Outer Banks.
Yep, gorgeous. Nice.
Although it won't be there in like 5 years.
Ed, Kate walked in last night and she looked at the TV and the game was on and she's like, points at the TV and she was like, Celtics. And she was so fucking proud of herself that she had identified that the Celtics were on TV. And I was reminded.
I wasn't proud of myself. I was just saying.
The other night, a ball game was on, and I was just asking Kate some very basic questions about the game of baseball, and it is seriously like having a conversation with someone from another planet. Take for instance this question here: what is a strike? A strike in the game of baseball. What is a strike?
When you can't hit the connect with the ball properly.
Yes.
Like after you get pitched.
That's correct.
Like that's right.
However many times.
Right.
And they throw
that's pretty good. And what is a ball? What is a ball?
When you hit it like out of bounds or behind you or somewhere.
Right. Exactly. Right. That's exactly right. That is what a ball is.
And I got to say, it's a pretty bullshit term when ball. You have a piece of equipment that's a ball and also like so a ruling lazy. That's a ball.
So
bullshit.
Lazy. Yeah. So lazy.
I want to go on the record and say that I'm going to become a baseball expert because I am working on a sponsorship with one of my company.
Oh,
clients
really?
And the MLB.
Oh, I'll help with that. I can help. I can help you with that. You're going to need some help.
Of baseball stuff.
In the field, how many players on the field at a given time? How many?
56
players on the field. Very close. Very close.
38.
Yes.
That was high by like one or couple. Two.
You're just barely off. Okay, here's another question. Oh, this one's only for me, so I'm going to ask you guys to be quiet. Dear Brian, why isn't Fancy Sauce amused by the hilarious banter between you and Ed Daly?
I think you just got a sneak peek on that one.
This should be a video podcast. Actually, I can't think of a time on the podcast that she has ever laughed. Please provide insight. Thanks, Dan in Sacramento. Well, that's not true. She laughs all the time.
Can I defend Kate?
Yes. Yes, please do.
Kate is exposed to our bullshit for a segment every week.
Yeah.
Michelle has never listened to me. Right. Not once.
Yeah.
And she's not like she'll hear from the other room and she'll be like, "You sound like you're pretty proud of yourself," or some bullshit like that.
I know.
Like, she's so fucking hostile towards me. You really like think you're funny or something. Like, so, you know, Kate is actually like forced to put up with our bullshit. Like, Michelle doesn't even like pretend to give a shit about our show.
9 times out of 10, my segment is taken over by the dong culture.
Did you
segment?
Well, the very like straight.
I mean, it's culture. Usually today. How many minutes in were we before you two started talking about dong stuff?
The love lump.
I mean, literally, somebody time it.
The love bump.
But I mean, you did learn about a wristwatch.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty.
I can't believe you didn't know what a wristwatch was. Hey, can you tell me what time it is? And the dong is wrapped around. It's a great trick. I
see Quentin Tarantino pulling off the wristwatch move.
Don't have her drop any more names. Kate. What is going on in the world of pop culture? You're the one that comes on and apprises us as to what's happening in the world. Tell us what's going on.
Have you guys heard of the girl group, the Pussycat Dolls, headed by Nicole Scherzinger?
I have heard of them.
Yes, girl.
I have a question. No,
yes.
Are they like?
Yes.
Is anyone like of musical talent? I'm not saying they're not, but. It seemed like some of them are just models. Like, are
100%.
I think that like, Nicole Scherzinger could sing and dance. She was a judge on that X Factor.
Yes.
But are they doing like a Milli Vanilli thing, or that is like a band, or like I don't even know.
Well, like, you don't have to be very talented these days. If you look good and you can kind of do some choreography, and like at least one person can kind of like head you. Like that's all you really
need. Britney Spears, she can't sing.
She really can't.
You know, but it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Because everything's so digitally altered.
I mean, Aguilera could sing.
She could sing.
Actually had like a booming voice.
Yeah, she can sing.
She can belt out
tunes. But the Pussycat Dolls are like just kind of like a programmed, like they look good kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you one song they've
done. Me either. Like our equivalent of K-pop.
They had a hit in 2005 called Don'tcha. Which reached number 2 on the Billboard.
Missed that one. Missed that.
I mean, they've had some hits.
Missed that one.
So anyway, the story here
wasn't on my radar.
A former backup singer has been making some allegations, quoted extensively, saying that they were more of a prostitution ring than a pop group.
Whoa.
Yeah, and various articles related to the claim, she also asserts that the girls were drugged. And that, like, the woman that put the group together, they're like Svengali.
Robin Anton.
Yeah.
Sister of famous Beverly Hills hairstylist Jonathan Anton.
Right. Robin Anton was responsible for the treatment, and as well as the suicide death of one of the girls.
Oh, my God.
Anton's other.
Oh, no.
So.
Wait, did you say responsible for a suicide death?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they were.
Well, because of the way she was treated.
Right.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
This
is not the first time
I've
heard about this alleged prostitution ring. So I'm not going to name any names.
Please don't.
Ever.
Yes.
But somebody I know.
Yes.
See, like Kate, maybe 6 years ago.
Kate has
7
insight.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. 7 years, 7, 8 years ago.
Yep.
Was approached by...
No. You just said you're not going to name names.
Oh,
that's a name of somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to edit that out. I'm going to start again.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to name any names, but somebody I know was approached about 7 or 8 years ago by a person in the Pussycat Dolls.
Right.
to be an escort.
Yeah.
In no uncertain terms.
Yes. This is very common.
So this story, I 100% believe
this. It's much more common than you think. Like in, what's that movie? The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen, where he's, you know, he's this Middle Eastern dictator and he's got like on his bulletin board, like all the Hollywood starlets he's paid to have sex with. Like it's not out of the realm of possibility that these up and coming girls would take $1 million for a night. You know, I would.
I've really, this is going to sound terrible.
Yeah.
But this Robin Anton, I Googled.
Yes.
Like
she's a little bit older.
Well, it's not just age, but like, was she born a woman?
No.
Like,
no.
Ed. Nicole Scherzinger is the one that you want to Google. She's kind of like the one that's like, running the other girls. I actually know who she is. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. 100%. Well, interesting. We'll have to see how that plays out.
While we're on this salacious kind of subject, let's have an R. Kelly update.
Oh,
R. Kelly.
Finally, some good news.
Still a monster.
Oh, what?
The woman accusing R. Kelly of sexual assault and infecting her with genital herpes claims he told her. So he got her back to a hotel room after a show and then demanded that she take her clothes off.
Gave her that H.
She was a little scared. They had
sex. And he put that dirty key in her ignition.
Said, you know, if you're really 16, you can tell daddy, right? You know, you look about 14.
Oh, so gross. Daddy. There's a
podcast called Edge of Fame.
Yeah.
And they did a feature on R. Kelly and it was fascinating. You got a picture of how it all works. It was like one family like talks about like how their daughter disappeared from their life and how he moved right in.
He gets them all on his phone plan and so he can control their minutes and their data. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, has like handlers. He's got them all over the country and he has like handlers and the girl will be like, I need to go to the bathroom. And she asks the handler and the handler will call R. Kelly and be like, yo, Devondra wants to go to the bathroom. And he'd be like, is that cool? All right, cool. Yeah, go ahead and go.
But you have to give me your phone.
Yeah.
But it was like this girl was like away freshman year of college and then the parents were waiting for her to like come home for Thanksgiving and it's like, nope, that's it.
Yeah.
This girl says
she's not part of college.
I believe I can fly.
R. Kelly, he doesn't act his age. You feel like I'm chilling with somebody I went to high school with.
Yeah, he's probably like 55.
In addition,
black don't crack.
51, I think. In addition to forcing her to engage in non-permissive, painful, and abusive sex, Rogers alleged that Kelly also knowingly infected her with genital herpes.
Oh yeah, super. He don't care.
She also alluded to the singer's infamous sex cult. She claimed that Kelly said he raises, in quotations, five women, some of whom have been with him for 15 years.
Oh, what a hero! He's got all the money. Whoa, these are not. I'm looking at Robin Anton pictures too.
So there was another girl last.
Oh, there's Jonathan Anton. Right? Yeah.
Last August,
I can't tell where Jonathan ends and she begins.
Yeah, they look alike. Geronda Pace, yes.
One thing I'll say about R. Kelly, I have a horrible admission. I don't like R&B, and I really don't like what he stands for. But I love Ignition Remix. I love that song.
Oh, I don't know it. I don't. Is that part of the Trapped in the Closet?
That's the key. And let me put. He compares the girl to a football coach. The way you got me playing the field. Like it's a horrible cheesy song, but I do love it.
He's a very good singer.
I mean, definitely heard that song.
I don't think so. He's got a delightful voice.
I never liked, but that song I love.
He stacked like $100 million off that. I Believe I Can Fly. By the way, like he's rich as
all these girls are coming out of the woodwork now. Though, Geronda Pace accused Kelly of trapping her in a traumatizing sexual relationship when she was 16. April this year, Kelly's ex-girlfriend Kitty Jones claims he had a sex dungeon where he groomed girls as young as 14 to be his pets.
What's the big deal?
Accused him of
and he has like lots of them at a time, right? Yeah. Like under his control.
Guy likes to fuck.
Underage girls he can like get and control.
Well, what happened to those ones that they had tapes of him pissing on and he's like, that ain't me. That's my double. Like that was his thing.
That was like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like, he was so rich that he kept like postponing things and dragging it out and people wouldn't testify. And then it just like went away. And he was pissing on underage girls.
Even as this story goes on, I've been scrolling through Nicole Scherzinger pictures for like, I'm probably up to like 600 and I'm all aboard.
Oh, really? You're into that, huh?
That was me laughing, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, you never do that.
I laugh at Ed all the time.
People.
Oh. I mean, I laugh at you too.
I'm on like page 14. I'm still enjoying it.
Okay, I'm going to move on.
She's got a great bod.
I'm going to move on.
Fake rack. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not usually a fake rack guy, but
no, I get it.
Let's wrap up the Irving Nicole.
Some chicks need it. But she's a little ethnic in the face.
When you're ready.
Oh, okay. Yes, continue, Kate. You were saying? R. Kelly?
Oh, no. I finished that story. It's over.
Reignition. Is it that?
Bad Running brains? Her hands through my fro.
I don't want to hear that.
Oh.
People are switching off this podcast now.
Oh, okay. Continue.
Hip hop artist and Mensa member Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Finally some shit I can get behind.
The guy.
Hold on, Ed. Have you seen this one where she's like in a red, like kind of bikini, like lingerie thing?
No.
Oh, you got to see that one. Look for that one. Yes. R. Kelly.
I mean, I know this is the patriarchy, this is like super rude.
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Oh, the guy. That's, like, that's my favorite guy. If you interrupt every one of Kate's Nicole stories, I'm sorry, but that's my favorite story.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
Over.
No, because I'm all in on Tekashi 6ix9ine. That's my boy. He's
the handsomest guy who ever lived.
Great. He's got great tattoos.
Daniel Hernandez, 22-year-old rapper.
Not even Japanese, and he calls himself Tekashi.
Yeah.
He loves a specific
known
number.
Known for his multicolored hair and teeth. 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
So he was like pulled over and cuffed the other night.
He's from Brooklyn.
He got taken in to the 77th Precinct Station House.
Yeah.
And when an officer reached over to remove the handcuffs, I guess he grabbed the cop's hand and kind of like pressed it against the metal cuffs.
Oh, no.
And I guess the cop had to go to the hospital. It's like a bit of a
In the old days, they would have taken him in the holding cell and gave him one of those beatings where it's only on pressure points, or they only use like a piece of soap and a sock so it doesn't leave bruises. Yeah, like how is it? That's just made up, right? You can't really beat the fuck out of somebody and not leave bruises. I think that was just like
urban legend. Was released on a $25,000 bail after that assault of a police officer. So what a winner. Straight up and down.
Last we heard, he was like having sex with a 13-year-old girl or something.
But I fear this. Our friend Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah,
I feel like he doesn't have like a really well thought out plan for his future. He's not kind of planning ahead. I think he's kind of jumping around.
Ed,
he's living in the moment.
Ed, every time I see him, he's got a stack of like $25,000 in his hand in every picture, and he's probably taking that down to his broker.
Maybe he's a financial advisor.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Let's talk about someone else who's flashing big stacks of cash on the internet.
Stacks on stacks.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys familiar with 9-year-old Instagram rapper Lil Tay?
Only because Joe Rogan's told me about her.
Yeah. Joe Rogan interviewing Matt Taibbi brought up Lil Tay. I checked her out.
But I'll be honest, I haven't watched any Lil Tay, so I don't know really anything about Lil Tay.
Let me ask you.
I'm gonna let you guess if a 9-year-old talking about money is tolerable or insufferable. Yes. I'll let you guess.
It's got to be pretty bad.
Let me read you some of her lyrics.
Okay.
Everything in my bathroom costs more than your rent. This is my closet. Everything in here be designer, Gucci, Louis, Versace.
And she's 9.
She goes on to follow users. To tell her follower users, she used to be broke as hell as a 6-year-old growing up in Atlanta. But then she started working hard, moving bricks.
Bricks of cash.
Bricks of dope.
This is her right here.
Lil Tay. Hey.
She's a little kid. Written an essay. Hussein. Okay. Just imagine, it's a little kid. She's white.
Yeah,
she's as fuck. I hate her.
She has a. I think her mom's Japanese.
Oh. Uh huh.
So she's.
I like reminding my she's kids not white. That they're broke.
So her whole thing is like she's often does her videos from like. Luxury cars.
Yeah.
Holding like stacks of cash.
Yep. She's got the big iPhone like Ed.
So her mom, I guess, like borrowed her boss from the real estate company in Vancouver's Mercedes 500 SL and Lil Tay did a video in it and she had to leave her job.
Oh, because her boss didn't know that they were borrowing it to be a prop.
Yeah.
Well,
she says, I'm only 9 years old. I ain't got no license, but I still drive this sports car, bitch.
She can't drive.
How do you get the card? how do you get the key? Your boss.
Yeah.
She also passed off like a $3.6 million penthouse as her own when it was actually like an open house her mom was hosting.
This is like all like every rapper.
And she's always trying to say that it's in Beverly Hills, but really she's like posted up in Vancouver.
Vancouver's cool. Mm-hmm. Like just be in Vancouver, bitch.
Anyway, like where are you at on a scale of 1 to 10 with the fact that your daughter at the moment is so influenced by Lil Tay that on Sunday she wanted to know what her rap name should be and that she wants to be a famous rapper.
But she hates Lil Tay. Well, like she's not a Lil Tay fan.
Or is she jealous of her 1.8 million followers and her fame?
I don't think that's – no. I don't think you are – trolling here in a major way. Mm-mm. And you're saying things that are inaccurate and hurtful.
Okay. Well, my
son this weekend told me I was really uncool because I don't listen to the top 40 radio.
Kids are the best.
And I was like, it depends on how you look at cool, but yeah, that's fine.
I was at the grocery store as a punishment. I made my kid go with me to the grocery store. And the guy asked me if I needed bags. And I'm like, yeah, hook it up, Playboy. And my son got so embarrassed. And he's like, and we walked out and he's like, Dad. And I'm like, what? And he's like, hook it up, Playboy. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, seriously. And I'm like, no, that kid thought that was cool. And he's like, no, he didn't. Like, it wasn't cool. He didn't think it was cool. And I'm like, whatever. I'm pretty sure he liked it. Hook it up, Playboy.
That's pretty cool.
What else, Kate?
This is a pretty good story. This white supremacist, Richard Spencer.
Oh, the guy that got punched in the face.
That's right.
All of the like super cuts of syncing his face punching to music is just the best.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I've never stopped liking it.
He posts up in Whitefish, Montana. They're probably so bummed to have him there.
I mean, Whitefish.
I mean,
like, come on.
Do you think
that's why
town.
He lives
there? Yeah, exactly.
So a local bar owner recently posted a photo of a receipt showing that Spencer's card had been declined over a $4.75 bullet bourbon drink.
Oh, I don't mind a bullet bourbon.
He posted it on Facebook.
Oh, bullet's a good
saying,
bourbon.
Hate to say he's got good taste.
Part of the post said, thank you. Also, you might want to tell your mommy to put some more money in your account. As you can see, your card was declined.
Whitefish, Montana bar, $4.75. Like, that's a $9, $10 drink where I live.
I'm starting to think I might need to pick a new vacation spot.
Right. That's my kind of place, other than the white supremacists. Yeah, his card got turned down. Fuck him.
It's a weird – white supremacy is a weird thing because, like, we now have a ton of evidence just in America that, like – white guys are not supreme. Like they're not super cool.
Well, we have the fucking fossil record, and we know that all life originated in the Eastern Rift Valley of Africa. Black fool.
Right, but on top of that, just looking at like American culture, if you only were just pro America, like music, athletics, everything, you would. Not feel like white guys are so cool.
No, I got to agree. Okay, what else, Kate? I'm still looking at Nicole Scherzinger.
I can't stop.
Yeah.
I'm on like page 20.
Are you not done? You got one more?
I have one more story.
Well, I've been getting in trouble for rushing you off.
Do you guys know that there's not just one Dr. J? There's two.
Yeah, there's the one that was on Yo MTV Raps with
Oh yeah, with Ed Lover. Lover.
Yeah.
No, there's another actual Dr. Dre, spelled D-R-A-I. Whoa,
hold on, hold on. Dr. Dre Andre Young is not an actual physician.
If you're unfamiliar with...
Is he a fucking chiropractor? I knew it. I hate it when those guys call themselves doctor.
If you're unfamiliar with the actual Dr. Dre, who's an actual doctor who practices medicine in Pittsburgh, his previous credits include the book 20 Things You May Not Know About the Penis and recent follow-up, 20 Things You May Not Know About the Vagina.
Oh,
that guy definitely goes to the Tennyson Lounge for some karaoke in Pittsburgh. Definitely.
Dr. Dre, the rapper, just lost a trademarking battle against the OBGYN, Dr. Dre.
Because that is his actual name.
Yeah. He said, I was just appalled how someone would think that I wanted to be them, and I actually went to medical school.
Yeah, he's an actual... Because Dr. Dre... Andre Young, like he's probably one of those like herbalists or something, homeopath.
Well, I mean, in Dr. Dre's defense, he's more of a doctor than Bill Cosby was.
That's true.
Actually put in the credits of the Cosby Show, written by produced by Dr. Bill Cosby.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked up. Get an honorary doctorate. Is that it, Kate?
That be it.
Oh, are you sure? I don't want to rush you off. Is there anything else you'd like to get to?
I think I'm good.
Any big Australia news? Anything?
No.
No? Okay.
Any Barnaby Jones updates?
No.
That's Barnaby Joyce.
Joyce, Joyce, right.
Google Barnaby Joyce.
Something's happened.
Oh, no.
Are you guys in a tornado or something?
Something happened there. Okay. Well, that was an excellent episode. I'm very stoked to have both of you here. You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
Very fun.
Sounded nice to be back.
Really beautiful this week.
It's nice to get back. We've had we went off the board the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. We're back to normal. It's good to have everybody here. So for Ed Daly, for Kate McManus, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 221 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.